The following is a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about them Cowboys?
Yeah! Go Cowboys!
Let's go, baby!
Are you ready for a break?
Yes.
Are you ready for a break?
Absolutely.
Ready for a break?
Yeah, and so much for that.
It's time for The Break on DallasCowboys.com.
We were on the break!
With Ambar Garcia, Brian Broaddus, Patrick Walker, and Derek Eagleton.
It is Wednesday, February 14th, 2024, season 19, episode number 112. Welcome to the latest edition of The Break. It is a special Valentine's edition of The Break. Brian's not here today, but got plenty of love for you guys with Patrick Nosey Walker and Amber Garcia. And so today, we got a lot we're going to get into. We're going to talk about the defensive coordinator. The Cowboys just get their new defensive coordinator. We're going to talk about the defensive coordinator in Washington and the head coach there, and talk about how we think that affect us and other NFC East movings when you talk about some of the coaches that have been hired in Philadelphia as well. And then we'll see. We will see if we will get to the conversation on Dak Prescott.
I'm not sure it will,
but it's on the rundown. So if we get to it, we get to it. And if we don't, guess what? It'll roll right over to next week.
Because it's not going to.
And if there's not more news next week, then we'll hit it next week. All right.
At some point, that pitch gets old, you know?
Yeah, but Dak's not going anywhere.
Right.
No,
that's the point.
No. I know. But the fact that Derek mentions it every week.
That's because marketing, right? He knows what he's doing.
Hey,
right,
man. I've been doing this a while.
Keep him on the hook.
I've been doing this a while.
This is just slow reel.
All right. Let's jump in. Mike Zimmer, new defensive coordinator of the Dallas Cowboys. Press conference today at 2?
2 p.m. Yeah. Central time.
All right, cool. And Amber will have a question, I'm sure. She'll have a few questions for Mr. Zimmer.
But ask him in Spanish?
No,
really test
I will
him
just
out.
Be
really
watching.
Test
that
him right out of the gate.
That would actually be pretty interesting. Is like she just jumped right out the gate and just asks a question in Spanish and just sits back and waits. Test and everybody in the room would probably just be like,
"What would be even better is if he replied in Spanish."
Now, that would be epic.
That would be epic.
That would be epic. All right, so we talked about this a little bit last week. Was this the right decision for the Cowboys?
For me, yes. And, you know, when going back to last week, when you asked us to rank the candidates that the Cowboys were interested in, I had Mike Zimmer right up there alongside Wink Martindale. Martindale obviously has now gone to be the DC of the Michigan Wolverines. Congratulations to Wink Martindale. But I'm right here with Mike Zimmer. I had him ranked far above Rivera and that much farther above Rex Ryan because of the lack of experience over the past 7 or 8 years with Ryan being in the broadcast booth versus being on an NFL sideline. Also love the fact that Zimmer versus Ryan. Ryan was more of an AFC coach. Zimmer comes in as an NFC coach, knows how to navigate it. I get your point, Derek. There's been some turnover, obviously, in the NFC, but the conference is still the conference, and he's familiar with it. And I feel like he's going to come in. And I spoke last week also about the culture shock that's probably going to happen. I think it'll be a positive for this Cowboys locker room going from Dan Quinn, who's a player's coach. Obviously, we love Dan Quinn, but when you look at Zimmer, he's more of that old school ball coach, tough nose, holding guys accountable. I think this is the right time and the right personality for this Cowboys defense.
Did you say tough nose?
Tough nose, hard nose.
Oh, okay.
Saying, tough, hard, synonyms.
I'm messing with you. I like messing with you.
Was the writer here?
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm messing with the writer.
Supposedly.
Oh, wow. Wait, hold on. Did you say supposedly or supposably? Because that's going to be a fight.
Right. Either way.
No, it's not either way. There's no supposedly.
And this is in reference to the game we played weeks ago where you couldn't think of a single word.
I know it was the shot. I just want to make sure you didn't say supposedly because then we got to. Yeah, okay.
Hey, man, you got to come with it on this show.
Yeah, facts.
He will not let nothing will slide on this
facts.
Show. Go.
You guys attack me, I attack back.
I love
it's
it.
Just called defense.
Win.
I play defense.
What'd you say?
And this guy, Mike Zimmer, I think he was my top candidate. I think he brings the balance of the two things that I was looking for. One, having somebody from the outside experience, but also an insider experience because he spent so many years here with the Cowboys. Again, very, very different times. There's like not many people probably that are still working here from the time he was here. Old man.
Yeah, I was kind of here.
Pew, pew, pew.
No, there's a lot of staff members still, but there's been a huge turnover.
Not a lot. Yeah, it's not
a
lot.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. And obviously, very, very different players. different building back then. He was Valley Ranch.
Very
so
different. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a whole new different environment, but that he's not necessarily a stranger to completely. So that's good. He brings the experience. He brings that toughness that we talked about. But also talking to different people around the building, because initially my first impression just from things that I've heard initially was that he was just like one of those mean guys. But he has like a combination of both things where he's actually, what I hear, he's actually a pretty nice guy, mm-hmm. but he will bring the toughness that is needed when it's needed. So it has that balance as well there that I like. And yeah, just looking forward to what this is going to actually look like and translate to when he steps in here and starts coaching again.
Yeah, he reminds me of, I guess the best way to put it is, you know, what old school, like my old high school coach was like the kind of guy that you knew he cared about you, but he also could pull out the paddle and make sure
they don't know about doing, the paddle.
They don't know. That's they don't what I'm know saying. About the paddle. Like, this is a different era. Y'all yeah. don't know about that
Two
kind
inch
of stuff.
Thick.
Yeah. Like
Two
the, it
thick.
Was the principal when I was in school was the person that basically regulated the school.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, not the principal, the coach, yeah. football coach. If you play football, then your teachers, if you weren't doing what you're supposed to do in class,
oh, yeah.
they didn't go to the principal. They didn't go to counselors. They went to the coach and they said, hey, coach, this student isn't doing what they're supposed to do. And the coach would literally come and you would see him kind of peek in your class and be like, I need this student for a minute.
Uh-huh.
And then you're going to go see the coach. Yeah, you're going to go see the coach and the coach is going to take care of that. And it might be paddling. It might be you're going to run, do some
the
extra
coach
work.
Spang to you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And guess
paddling
what? And guess what? Back in those days, not only did coach paddle you, then coach would call your mama,
and
then you
too.
Go home, and then mom would take care of you too, or daddy would take whatever it was going to be.
Abuse everywhere.
Hey, man, it was just it was a different
thing.
World. My point is,
thing.
I'm not thinking he's going to be pulling out the paddle around here, but my point is, I would characterize Mike Zimmer as the kind of guy that is hard but fair. And I heard somebody say that was a quote that Parcells gave about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hard coach, so he's going to coach you hard. But he's going to be fair, and I think the players will respect him, and I think the players will know that he has their best interests at heart. But he's not going to let things slide. He's going to hold them accountable to the things that he's asking them to do. He's going to explain it well. He's going to hold them accountable to doing those jobs really well. And I think that's something that this defense can use.
And I think that's what I'm hoping will help take care of those penalties. And we've talked about it before where my issue there, and I know it's difficult because sometimes, okay, who else do you got that you're going to decide to sit someone out or whatever? But it's like, what does that look like during the week as well? What kind of discipline or something that you're trying to do to make a change? And it wasn't reflected throughout the season. So that's an aspect where someone like him, I'm hoping, would not let things like that slide all a full season.
No, I can pretty much attest to the fact that just in speaking with some people who covered the beat in Minnesota, who covered the beat continually in Minnesota in the Mike Zimmer era and some of the players that played under him, penalties, for example, going back to what I said as far as holding guys accountable, if you're not making those corrections on a weekly basis and you're consistently costing the team and the defensive unit drives that they should have gotten off the field on third down, but now they're still on the field, you're going to lose snaps under Mike Zimmer. He's going to sit you down until you get the point. And that's, again, that's exactly what the Cowboys need, because if you look at last season, you lead the league in penalties. They were one of the league leaders in penalties the season before. So again, love what Dan Quinn brought to the equation. But when you talk about Zimmer, you're talking about a coach who is, and I love the fact that you used the word respect. He is so well respected because his resume is stellar. He comes in with the Super Bowl ring. And by the way, there's a Cowboys star on that Super Bowl ring. He's coached Hall of Famers, Ring of Honor guys. So there's the respect that comes with the ability for him to come in and say, I don't really care how much you're getting paid. I don't really care what the name on your jersey is. If you continue with these self-inflicted wounds and these, you know, these penalties, neutral zone infractions and things like that, you're not going to be on my field. And there are big name guys who have played under Zimmer who can attest to that and say, you know what, until I got my act together, he would sit me. No, and I'm sitting here thinking, hey, I'm you know, the big dog in the locker room. Yeah, big dog versus Mike Zimmer wins that. And that's why, for the most part, you'll hear a lot of players that loved playing under him, but there's just as many players who also love playing under him who will look you in the face and say, hey, I remember a time he came to me and basically intimated, I don't care who you are, if you don't get this corrected, you're not going to be on this field. So when it comes to accountability plus respect, he gets both of those things. And I think, again, I'll say it again, Cowboys defense needs this right now.
Let's take our first break. When we come back, I'm going to ask you guys the question, do you think that there can be issues, and what do those issues look like in that type of coach coming in to coach current day players and how they look at the world? I talked about what it was like when I was in school. That ain't what these kids are going through now. It's a different world. I want to talk about what you think that could look like here, and if you think that could be an issue for the Cowboys. We'll do that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savannah. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now, Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is, Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Cowboys fans, after that move, we've just coined the term Rowdy Replay. Let's roll back the tape.
Okay, there's our mascot Rowdy cheering on the boys, and now he's on his phone, on his Bank of America mobile banking app?
Staying on top of his finances with his virtual financial assistant, Erica.
Bank of America's digital tools are so impressive. Cowboys fans just can't stop banking. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/can't stop banking.
Erica is only available in the English language. You must download the latest version of the mobile banking app, only available on select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Welcome back into Dear Doctor, the show where I answer life's questions with an ice-cold can of Dr. Pepper. Sheila, let's hear from our next caller, would you?
Dear Doctor, my friend supported me during a tough time, but what's the right gift that says, thanks for being a shoulder to cry on?
Okay, this one's easy. I say, give her a delicious Dr. Pepper. Nothing says, thanks, girl, better than a one-of-a-kind soda. Yes, any Dr. Pepper flavor will do. Now, just a reminder that I don't need to be a real doctor to know that Dr. Pepper is the one you deserve.
They say champions are remembered, but legends are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Back to the break.
Come on out to AT&T Stadium on February 24th for the Monster Energy AMA Supercross Championship Series. Watch the world's best two-wheel racers converge for one night of nonstop action. Enjoy unprecedented access to the sport's biggest stars with an up-close view of their race bikes and team rigs at FanFest. Tickets are on sale now at SeatGeek.com, the official ticketing partner of AT&T Stadium.
Welcome back. Second segment of the break, live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. The segment brought to you by Blockchain.com. All right, let's talk about this let's talk about Mike Zimmer, new defensive coordinator of the Cowboys, from the standpoint of, we talked about how tough he'll be. We talked about how he'll hold people accountable. My question for you is his style, do you think his style can be a problem for the Cowboys, knowing that today's player is very different than the players he may have coached in the past? Certainly back when he was here with the Cowboys, the player of today, they go through a different world where there's a lot more thought for, you know, how they're feeling and worried about their feelings a lot more than what it was when maybe he was coaching here before. Now, let's not act like when he was coaching in Minnesota, players were a lot different than they are today. Right. So he's had some experience there. Right. But I think players every year get a little bit more different. You know what I mean by that? And so what do you think could be the challenges there?
What do you think, Amber?
Well, there are a lot of different layers and aspects to this. I would say one thing is I like the balance, and Derek, you brought this up, I believe it was last week, where you talked about Mike McCarthy and the way, and we've seen it, the way that he's catered to the players and their mental health and just kind of making sure that they're good internally. And I think Mike McCarthy, with the combination of him, could be a good balance where you just kind of – everybody keeps each other kind of in check. Hey, calm down, or you know. But at the same time, I do agree, in today's society, feelings do get hurt a lot more. We take things a lot differently now, and players and people in general have a lot more pride. And you're like, no, you're not going to talk to me that way. But at the same time, when you're competing and playing and in this business and in this sport, for you to have that kind of demeanor too and stand up for yourself in that way, your work has to back it up too. You know, when you're, and I'm saying when you're surrounded in front of other players, like there's a reason certain things were accepted from certain players throughout history just because their work was right. Spoke for themselves, right? Yeah. And you're like, okay, well, so I don't know. It's just a very tough balance. I think it would be okay. My concern would be if the players end up not respecting him and lose respect, and then now people are venting on Twitter, and we know certain people like to
maybe a podcast here.
Yeah, people like to take things to Twitter and start commenting and airing things out, and then that causes drama. The media's feeding into it, and now you just have this whole division and drama in the throughout the season. That's a huge problem. But given the stakes, given the scenarios, given the way and the embarrassment that the season ended, I would be embarrassed too as a player, to where you just keep your head down and do the work and do the grind. And there's no reason, like, we're all in this together. We're fighting for the same goal. There's no reason for anybody to kind of be. You know what I'm trying to say?
Nice.
So just do the work.
Yeah.
Do well the work done. And hopefully everyone can just come together and not create any drama.
So anyone who follows me knows I am a massive advocate for mental health. And I will say that in conjunction with, I'm a competitor myself, and I've played, you know, all types of major sports. So I understand there has to be the balance of respecting who you're talking to, especially these are adults. These are not college
kids. These are not kids, right?
Right. These are not high school kids. These are adults who are being paid millions and millions of dollars. But in saying that, that means that the adult who's being paid millions and millions of dollars also has to have the respect that this feedback is coming from a good place. And you have to be able to understand that, because like you said, Ambar, if you can have your feelings, which is completely with you, you're entitled to your feelings.
Yeah.
You're entitled to voice those feelings 100%. But you also have to understand the context of where the feedback is coming. So if you're not playing up to par and you're getting this feedback, you need to be more receptive of why you're getting the feedback. It's because you're not playing up to par. So sometimes, you know, as much as we need to make sure that we're walking the line and respecting everyone's mental health, sometimes tough love is just needed. Sometimes you have to look someone in the face, be it, you know, your mom, your dad, your cousin, your brother, your sister, and say, I love you to death, but you are really, really messing up here. Let's sit down and let's talk about what we can do to get better. And you also have to be receptive of that. So when it comes to Zimmer, I think he'll have a good balance of that, because like you said, it's not that he's been out of the league since the 90s. He recently coached the Minnesota Vikings, so he's not too far removed from this brand of NFL player. But going to the McCarthy aspect as well, I think it'll be a nice balance of good cop, bad cop. And I kind of hesitate to put a good cop on McCarthy, because that's an Irish guy from Pittsburgh. He can get bad cop, but I think Zimmer can get good cop as well. I think they'll play very well alongside each other. I think it's yin and yang, and on any given moment, it might be McCarthy tearing into somebody, and then Zimmer comes behind him and says, well, this is what coach was trying to say, and vice versa. Sometimes it'll be Zimmer saying, what the blank are you doing out there? And then McCarthy will come behind him and say, this is what he's trying to say. I think those two guys, and especially with the accomplishments and the resume that they have, I think you have to respect as an NFL player, and especially as a Cowboys defensive player who is coming off of a performance that you came off of against the Green Bay Packers. You're not entirely in a position to say that you don't like the feedback. You need to take the feedback and then try to grow from it. So I think it'll work out well.
Yeah, I think the interesting thing here is I think for any coach, I think the real difference to me, and this is based on like the, and obviously I know football players are very different than creatives, but I manage creatives. And one of the things I've learned over time with how you deal with creative versus how we dealt with them back in the day is relationships matter. The more you spend time with people, the more you get to know them, the easier it is. And it's never going to be easy, but the easier it is to be able to give hard feedback. And unless you have the relationship, people don't hear you as much in today's world. The young folks, they don't listen as well to you if you don't have the relationship and you're just always coming down on them. And I think that's the key here. Like, I don't think Zimmer's the kind of guy that's just going to be demeaning players to demean players. I think it's about accountability.
Yeah.
And so if the player knows, coach just told me yesterday I needed to do X, Y, and Z. And in the day in practice, I'm not doing X, Y, and Z. And he just went off. I think they can accept the fact that this is accountability at work. Like, this is a situation where I'm not doing exactly what he told me he needed me to do, and I'm getting the wrath of that right now.
Right.
So I think as long as it's built around true accountability and not just demeaning to be demeaning. And again, I do think relationships matter. I think his ability to be able to get to know his players and develop that relationship to where they do respect him in a way, they respect him as a man first before a coach, right?
Right.
I think when that happens, I think that's a way that he will probably deal better. And I think all coaches, anybody that's in a leadership position, has to deal with younger people because, as you said, you know, now parents ask their kids how you, they grow up in an environment where the parents are asking, well, so tell me how you're feeling.
Right.
A lot of kids in my generation didn't get that. It was like, do what I said, and that's it.
And
like,
that's
I don't care how you feel about
but you
it.
Right? Know what?
So it just changed. The world has changed. And so you have to be aware of that. And I think you have to approach people in that way.
There is a fine line. And this is just something that popped into my head right now that I find an interesting concept. For example, Dan Quinn, I love Dan Quinn. He's a player's coach.
Yeah.
He's super, like, down there to their level, goes down and is next to them doing things, going through drills or things like that. We know that. But maybe a different guy, like Zimmer, brings a different aspect to, let me try to illustrate this for as an example. And I would assume this has happened to a lot of other people too. But for example, me, I love kids. I will be with every single kid that I see and I'll be playing and I like lower myself to their levels and we become buddies. And there are times that they cross the line. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. Hold on.
We're not friends.
We're not on the same level. Hold on, back up a second, little kid.
Yeah, I'm not your friend.
Yeah. Exactly. Or another scenario. There was one time I had a trainer that he was too friendly with me. We became buddy, and like I'm like, no, I'm done with the reps. Like I took him more as like, okay, we're too buddy. But you need someone that has that kind of toughness sometimes. So what I'm trying to say is interesting to think about the balance between those relationships, because although you do want someone that can connect to you and be that guy and that closeness, you do need that kind of straight
respect. I think the best way to illustrate it, what popped in my head, is it's the stern dad versus the fun uncle.
Yeah. Right?
And it feels like Dan Quinn, as much as we love him, it was more the fun uncle. It's the one that when you're a kid and the fun uncle comes over and you have so much respect for him because he's your uncle, right? But it's more of the fun, personable conversation.
Rules kind of go out of the window with fun uncle.
It's like, oh, Unc is here, right? But you also know that at a certain point, Unc's going to check you. But there's a lot more leeway as far as the fun is concerned. And that's why Dan Quinn is such a player's coach. Whereas Zimmer, it's the stern dad. Not to say that stern necessarily means bad, but stern in that I'm going to give you these instructions. I need you to follow these instructions. Mm-hmm. And if you don't follow these instructions, we need to have a conversation about why these instructions weren't followed. And it's more so that aspect. So I really think the fun uncle has left the building. The stern dad is coming in. And that's what this locker room kind of needs to get used to.
The one thing I do want to clarify, though, is I don't necessarily want to characterize Dan Quinn as someone that didn't hold players.
That's what I keep saying.
I think we need to make that clear because I think you can easily.
We saw his work easily, here,
yeah,
too.
I think people can easily put it into either you are or you aren't. Yeah, like, no, I think it's not, just a different way that he did it. I think Zimmer's way is, as you said, a lot more stern,
right?
Or at least what I've seen, right? And what players who have played for him have told me. Like, he's just a much more to the point, very direct, very stern, here's what I need you to do, and then holding players accountable to that, and may not have a lot of more of the touchy-feely kind of stuff in his repertoire.
Yeah, exactly. Dan Quinn, he's older too, but he is more in with the new type of stuff.
Well, think about it. So from the fun, if we keep with the fun uncle analogy, right? So let's say it's the fun uncle that you respect, and that uncle comes in and you haven't made your bed, and he hears, you know, the parent kind of yelling at you to go make your bed, and you haven't, and he kind of pulls you to the side and says, "Hey, Derek, come on now.
Yeah.
You know you're supposed to go make that bed. Yeah. Go ahead and knock that out,
go
man.
Make
it easy on yourself. Go ahead and knock that out so we can go outside and play, right?" Whereas Mike Zimmer, he would come in as the stern dad and be, "Why is this bed not made?" So it's just those two different types of dynamics. Both held you accountable, but in two different ways.
And the interesting part about that is some kids respond well to the stern dad.
And some kids respond well to the fun uncle.
And some don't respond to the dad.
Correct.
Some don't respond to the fun uncle. That's the key. When you're coaching or leading, you got to figure out what works for every person, and you got to give them what actually motivates them.
Right.
So my hope is that for whether it's Mike Zimmer or whether it's McCarthy, they are tailoring their style of leadership to each and every player that they have to deal with, because every player is going to respond differently. And all you're trying to do at the end of the day is get the best out of the player. So you better figure it out. You better figure out what really motivates them. Some people, they will cower when you go at them hard.
Yeah.
Other people take that as a challenge, and they're like, okay, let's go. Right. So it's like you got to figure out what it is that really motivates the players, and then give them what really motivates them.
I mean, like you said, that's a huge part of coaching at every level, whether it be Pop Warner, high school, college, you know, D1, D2, or if you're at the NFL. If you're coaching, you know, groups of individuals, you need to understand it's not indifferent from teaching. If you're a teacher, you have to teach to each individual's personality, but you also have to have this overarching message that basically is in line with every single person you approach, because otherwise you run the danger of, okay, well, I was more stern with Derek than Ambar, but then Derek comes to me and says, "Why do you always come at me like this, but you don't go with Ambar?" So that's the respect aspect of it. And so that just goes to coaching. Either you're really good at that as a coach, and if you are, then you're at this level, and if you're not, then you shouldn't be at this level. But Zimmer has proven time and again that he's able to coach the old school way, by way of the 90s with the Cowboys and the personalities on his defense that he
he had some big personalities.
But he's also shown that he can coach the new age NFL player by way of the Minnesota Vikings. So I think, you know, he comes in with enough breadth of experience in that to make sure that he marries quickly to this locker room.
That's funny. Think about the difference between a Charles Haley and a Michael Parsons, right? From a personality standpoint. Very, very different people.
Yeah.
But
imagine
that's the
social
point.
Media back
then. Yeah, no, right. Jeez, I'm glad they didn't have social media back then. That would have been a tough situation. All right, we're going to take our final break. We'll come back. We're going to talk about the Washington Commanders. We'll talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, their moves at in coaching, and how those moves picking up some players, some coaches that have been here, and some coaches that have coached well against this team, what that means for the rest of the NFC East. We'll talk about that when we come back. DallasCowboys.com radio.
Todd thought it would be secure to jog in the cheetah savanna. Todd believed the big cat repellent he bought online was reliable. And now Todd is trying to be faster than this cheetah that can run 80 miles per hour. But the good news is Todd has AT&T 5G that is fast, reliable, and secure. And he learned the best thing to do is stop running and toss her the backpack with the beef stew. AT&T 5G. Fast, reliable, secure. It's not complicated.
5G requires compatible plan and device. 5G may not be available in your area. See att.com/5G for you for details.
Don't put off getting your oil changed, Dallas. Take 5 Oil Change. A proud partner of the Cowboys is faster than you think. There's no appointment needed and no waiting room. Yep, you heard that correctly. Take 5 is so fast, you don't even have to get out of your car. You can take advantage of Take 5's fast, friendly, and simple service at any of their locations across the Dallas area. And remember, at Take 5, you stay in your car because they're faster than you think. Take 5, the official oil change of the Dallas Cowboys.
It's the official men's skincare brand of the Dallas Cowboys, Jack Black. And right now, Cowboys fans can get 15% off their $75 order. Plus, because every deal needs a playmaker, your order will include a free 5-piece skincare set and free shipping. The Jack Black Playmaker is 4 of Jack's favorites and a full-sized intense therapy lip balm. Make a play for the playmaker at getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys. Cowboys VIP. That's getjackblack.com/cowboys with the code Cowboys VIP.
They say champions are remembered, but legends
are never forgotten. United Ag and Turf offers a winning lineup of John Deere equipment built to tackle any challenge on and off the field. Legendary John Deere tractors, combines, residential mowers, commercial mowers, compact construction equipment, Gator utility vehicles, and a full line of golf and sports turf equipment. United Ag and Turf, the official Ag and Turf equipment supplier of the Dallas Cowboys. Visit UnitedAgandTurf.com to find a location near you.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Back to the break.
Dallas Cowboys Game Time, powered by Lenovo, the official gaming platform and community of the Dallas Cowboys. Sign up now to compete in Fortnite for a chance to win a VIP experience at the 2024 Dallas Cowboys Draft Party. Qualifiers begin on February 24th and run through the 28th. Learn more and register at DallasCowboysGameTime.com.
Welcome back. It is the final segment of the break. We are live from the SWBC Mortgage Studios at the Star. We're talking about coaches, and I want to extend the conversation. We've talked about the Cowboys' new defensive coordinator, Mike Zimmer. I want to extend that conversation now to talk about some other coaching hires around the NFC East and how we think these hires may affect the Cowboys. Let's start first in Washington. Obviously, they hired Dan Quinn as their head coach, but they also pick up Joe Witt Jr., who was here last year, as their defensive coordinator. How much do you think that move or those moves affect the Cowboys with now their defensive coordinator being the head coach there and one of their defensive coaches, assistant coaches, now being their defensive coordinator?
Well, we already know that the battles between the Commanders and the Cowboys are always heightened because there's so much familiarity. And, I mean, a lot of times they either go down to the wire or they're just wildly unpredictable. Either the Cowboys are blowing them out or they're blowing the Cowboys out, and whatever the case may be. Now you throw into the mix a guy like Dan Quinn who knows your offense inside out. Joe Witt knows your offense inside out. And both of those guys also know both the strengths and the opportunities for improvement of all of your defensive guys, including your star guys like Micah and whatnot. So, of course, when you look at Dan Quinn, he's going to be, you know, feeding his offense all kind of intel on, well, this is how you attack Micah Parsons. This is how you try to attack DeMarcus Lawrence. This is how you target De'Ron Bland, things like that. So I think that for the Commanders, it's a huge, huge level up because they basically poached one of the biggest guys from the Cowboys, and then that guy poached one of the other biggest guys from the Cowboys on the defensive side of the ball. So thank goodness the Cowboys blocked the interview for Al Harris. Otherwise, we'd have that to contend with as well. But, you know, if you don't think, knock on wood, if you don't think, right, but I will say to everyone listening, and I tweeted this as well, I saw Al Harris doing some work today. So Zimmer's in the building, and Al Harris is not only still here, but he's working. So that's a good sign. Keep your fingers crossed. But I think it'd be disingenuous to pretend that, you know, the Commanders poaching Dan Quinn is not going to have any impact. It's fun as a fan to say, oh, well, it doesn't matter. As an analyst, it 100% matters. Like, these contests are going to be that much more intense going forward.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, they already have been, even though the Commanders haven't been doing very well. It's still, like you mentioned, every time they face each other, it's still a competitive game and you never know exactly what to expect. And I agree. Dan Quinn, I mean, he has a lot of insider information, yeah. Secret agent, and he knows everything. He knows everybody's strength and weaknesses over here. So that's going to be interesting. But at least I feel like outside those games, those two games against the Cowboys, overall, I think it's a year of rebuilding mm-hmm. for the Commanders. So I don't expect them overall to be extremely successful. I say this,
unless,
and you never know
QB.
What happens.
Yeah, yeah. They get that QB. Yeah,
you never know.
They got to get a QB.
You never know what can happen. It can definitely happen. There can be a lot of surprises. But as of right now, I just see it as a rebuild year for them. Just piecing, finding all the pieces, piecing it together and building for the future. So in general, not concerned. But with the Cowboys, definitely those two matches are something to watch.
And I'll also add this, just kind of on the other side of the coin that I mentioned. Yeah, there's Quinn and Witt, and they know the Cowboys' offense. But that means McCarthy and Schottenheimer, they know Dan Quinn and Joe Witt's defense and what their tendencies are, what they like to run. So that pendulum swings both ways. So while it will work against the Cowboys and, you know, in favor of the Commanders with Quinn and Witt knowing what the tendencies are, also means that McCarthy knows what Dan Quinn is likely to call in any given situation and how to attack his defense.
Yeah, quite frankly, I think it probably, if you want to use the word compromise, I think that's a bit of a strong word, but if you want to use that word, it compromises the Cowboys' offense far more than the defense, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I know you mentioned earlier he knows their defensive players, but I do think scheme matters, and I think they'll probably be doing a lot of things mm-hmm. differently defensively that may accentuate some positives and affect some of the things that Dan Quinn could or Joe Wood could say, well, this is how you get to Ron Bland. Well, I would think the defensive coordinator at this point would look at it and say, okay, I know these are some challenges of this player. How does my scheme put them in a better position?
Right.
So I think actually, if you want to say one of them may be compromised more, it may be, you know, well, what we know is this is what they do on their offense.
Yeah.
Here's how you can affect Dak Prescott. Mm. Here's how you can affect their right tackle. Here's, you know what I'm saying? Because they've been, you know, self-scouting,
right.
They have that kind of information, and that's where I think it's going to be a little bit harder. It'll be harder on the Dallas offense, I think, than the Dallas defense, because the Dallas defense will probably change so much with a new coordinator.
But also going to Ambar's point, and you make a fair point as far as it compromising the Cowboys' offense, but it is a rebuild for the Commanders and their defensive line. I mean, you have the two big boys up front on the interior in Payne and Allen.
Yeah, they got no pass rush.
But you don't have any edge rushers, right?
Yeah.
Your secondary is more or less in shambles. Your linebacker core is quite right? So as much as Dan Quinn has has the scheme to kind of compromise the Cowboys offense has the firepower to compromise basically a revamped personnel on the Commander side of the ball defensively. Mm-hmm. So ultimately, it might all just be a wash, and it might just come down to execution, who has the better players, and right now it's the Cowboys. And can McCarthy not be out-schemed by Dan Quinn? For us, looking at it, it's probably just going to feel like a training camp battle, right? It's Dan Quinn's play calling versus Mike McCarthy's play calling, and we saw that all July and August. Mm-hmm. So
let's flip to the Philadelphia Eagles. They have two new coordinators that both are interesting from the standpoint of the Cowboys. Their new offensive coordinator, Kellen Moore, obviously was here with the Cowboys for years as the offensive coordinator here. Vic Fangio is their new defensive coordinator, a guy that is, I think some of the talk around Fangio has been a little bit overblown. I do think, obviously, when he was in Denver, that game the Cowboys played against the Broncos, he certainly had the better of the Cowboys' offense. I don't think I agree with that last year against Miami. I don't think that the Miami defense necessarily shut down the Cowboys' offense. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a close game. I thought both teams had a little success and had some issues where, you know, it didn't quite work out. But I don't think it was a domination where I wouldn't think that was a domination. But that all being said, looking at those two guys, which of those you think could be most problematic for the Cowboys? Kellen Moore as the offensive coordinator or Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator?
That's a good question. It would be easy to say Kellen Moore because, you know, familiarity, right? But what Kellen Moore is not familiar with is Mike Zimmer. So advantage Cowboys there, because it's not Kellen Moore going against Dan Quinn. And even when it was Kellen Moore going against Dan Quinn in Los Angeles, Dan Quinn and the Cowboys came out with the W. But like I said, he being Kellen Moore, he doesn't know Mike Zimmer's scheme and what he's going to call. So I'm going to look at Vic Fangio in this aspect, because Fangio has had some consistent success in kind of bottling up Dak Prescott and what Dak likes to do. So I think that while, like you said, it wasn't, you know, Fangio with the Dolphins, it wasn't this, it wasn't Steve Spagnuolo down there type performance type thing. But he's one of the better and more respected defensive minds in the league, going to your divisional, one of your bitter divisional rivals. So I think it's going to be a bigger challenge for Dak to get over the Fangio quote unquote hump, if that's how you want to label it, than it would be for Mike Zimmer to scheme or out scheme Kellen Moore, who at times struggled in Los Angeles as well. Because keep in mind, if Kellen Moore was so electric in Los Angeles, he'd still be in Los Angeles as opposed to one and done. So I'm going to look at Fangio versus Dak Prescott, and I think this is one of the few defensive coordinators that Dak Prescott consistently kind of struggles to be explosive against. So if he can figure that out, then the Eagles will be less of a problem, but they're going to be a problem.
Yeah, to me they're kind of equal in a little bit with regarding your question, but Vangio, he's like, I'm more impressed with what the Dolphins were able to do at the end of the day, the season they had. So I got to take that kind of experience.
And they had major injuries as well. Bradley Chubb.
So
they lost a lot of their pass rushers, yeah.
So I'm taking just that experience, his most recent experience, and the level of success that he had, to that being a little bit higher than what Kellen Moore brings to the table right now.
Yeah. The interesting part for me is I actually think Fangio had that defense playing really well. I think they'll correct some of their personnel issues in the secondary. But the fact that he has that pass rush and he has some horses up front, and I think the thing that Fangio does really well is he knows how to get pressure. And I think because he has now, there's some, I know, I thought you're about to go there with the, there is a possibility that somebody might be a little disgruntled and might not be back. But that all being said, let's assume they have all the personnel that they have right now. If they have the personnel they have right now, that defense will be scary. They will have a pass rush and it will be difficult. The more interesting part is the offense for me, because people can try to, you know, I think a lot of Cowboys fans look at Kellen Moore in a way that he shouldn't be viewed. I think they look at him as lesser than what he was. He had some really good offenses here with Dallas. He caused some really number good offense. And they, I mean, they were talking like
number ones.
Yeah, they were up at the top of the league in offense. And don't get me wrong. Yes, they had challenges against some opponents. They'd have some challenges sometimes in the playoffs. All those things are true. Got it. But by and large, he called an offense that was consistently really good. And that, and probably among, and not probably, among the best in the league. So when you look at it from that standpoint and you look at where the Eagles were last year, especially at the end of the season on their offense where they feel they, it felt like they were really stifled, I think that's where I'm more interested in how does he turn that around? Does he get them into a – does he get Jalen Hurts to play a certain brand of football that makes him as good as Dak Prescott? There was a time, not last year, but year before last, when a lot of people were saying Jalen Hurts was one of the better quarterbacks in the league. And last year, things fell off. It wasn't the same. They weren't able to do all the things they did before. I'm interested to see if Kellen Moore can get that out of that offense, because they got talent on the offense. They got a great offensive line. They got great skill position players. So they got talent. I want to see how he puts that together. So that's going to be the interesting one.
But to that point, this is also why I view Fangio as the bigger threat of the two. Because the first, when I heard the news that Kellen Moore was going to join the Eagles as offensive coordinator, the first thing that popped in my head was, how does he fit with what Jalen Hurts does well, right? This is a run-first offense in Philadelphia. They do so much damage on the ground, be it with Jalen Hurts' legs, DeAndre Swift, those guys in the backfield. But one of the reasons that Kellen Moore was on the outs here in Dallas on the back end of his career here is because he wanted to pass the ball. And he stood at the podium one day and admitted it. He said, if it were up to me, I'd just pass 60 times a game. But, and he said, and I quote, but I've had to learn to kind of scale back. Okay. Which Kellen Moore is showing up in Philadelphia? Is it the one that sees Devontae Smith and sees A.J. Brown and sees Dallas Goedert and say, well, I have these weapons. I just want to throw. Well, Jalen Hurts showed last year that while he can drop back and throw, if you force him to throw 45, 50 times, you'll probably win that game. So I wonder how Kellen Moore is going to your point, how is he going to ask Jalen Hurts to play the game of football going forward? Is he going to say, I'm going to make you a 40-time dropbacker? If that's the case, the Cowboys have to be thrilled with that, because that's what you want to see, especially with Trevon Diggs returning. You got De'Ron Bland. If you can get Stephon Gilmore, your secondary is good against that. But if they're not willing to run the ball and at least create some semblance of balance, then you have a better chance of your pass rush being successful, because your pass rush is going to be asked to go at the quarterback more often than to stop the run.
So let me ask you this question. Who's better, DeAndre Swift or A.J. Brown?
Well, A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown. So the only point I'm going to make here is that's great to say, unless he gets to Philadelphia and has a way of developing Jalen Hurts into being a guy that can throw the ball 40 times a game. Because he's got the wide receivers and the tight end that if he can get it going, he would be deadly. Mm-hmm. Like, that would be a deadly offense if they get that passing game going consistently enough, right? So okay. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that Jalen may or may not be there yet. Right. What I'm saying is Kellen Moore was able to do with, by the way, when Dak Prescott got to the NFL, most people didn't call him a dropback passer.
No, not at all.
Right? Yeah. Somehow he developed into a dropback passer
John
and now Kittner. Can light you up,
he's
right?
Kittner. That's why he developed into a dropback.
Great. But my point is, it doesn't mean you can't do it. It doesn't mean that if you come in and you are this, it doesn't mean that within a year's time, 2 years' time, whatever, you can't develop into something else.
That's fair.
I think that that's where I look at it, and that's my point. I think that's the more interesting hire to me, is I want to see – if Kellen can get that passing game going in a way where they can really take advantage of those skill position players, because I don't think there aren't many teams in the league that have better skill position players. There are teams that have a better quarterback. I don't know that there are many that have better skill position players. So when you start looking at it from that standpoint, he's got something to work with.
Yeah.
If they can develop the things they want to develop in Hurts, this can get really, really, really interesting out there in Philadelphia.
That's true. It just feels like the question of if is bigger on the Kellen Moore side of the ball than the Vic Fangio side
That's
of
fair.
The ball.
Yeah. All right. We appreciate you guys joining us. We'll back next week. And we'll get into maybe some tag talk. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. And we'll play it by ear. There'll be maybe news. There'll be something we got to talk about. We're only a couple weeks from free agency starting. So there's a lot that we still got to get into as we get ready for free agency.
Indeed.
And hopefully this year there'll be a little bit of that all-in juice on free agency.
Must be nice to be on a parade.
Stop it. All right, we appreciate you guys joining us. We'll be back next week with Patrick Walker and Amber Garcia. I'm Derek Eagleton. This has been The Break, live on DallasCowboys.com radio.
This has been a production of DallasCowboys.com and the Dallas Cowboys Football Club.
How about this, Cowboys? Yeah!